Golden State Media Concepts Technology Podcast covers everything tech. The hottest mobile phones, tablets, games. We review it, rate it, test it. Whether you're Microsoft or Apple, Android or iPhone, we'll give it to you
again and again.
Black and white. The Golden State Media Concepts Technology Podcast.
Welcome to the GSMC Technology Podcast. It is a Thursday. As always, this podcast is brought to you by the GSMC Podcast Network. Today, we'll be recapping the Google I.O. that occurred on Tuesday, just a couple days ago. We have some news from Nintendo and some with regards to their Nintendo Switch. We have also some stuff regarding the news out of PS3, some sales news, PS4. We'll be getting to that in probably the third segment. And then also the some news, also more good news from Google with the release of their new Pixel iPhone, new Pixel phone, as you could see also in the title. I have announced already that they're going to be doing a Pixel Watch. We'll be talking about that in just a few moments. In this first segment, though, we're going to be talking about the Google I.O., and how they just really went for a more wow factor, changing over their kind of a lot of their interface and a lot of their how everything's going to look with the Google, how their interface, and obviously with all the different web pages they have and how everything's kind of getting a facelift. Whether it's, obviously we already talked about the Gmail changeover, might probably going to see a lot more stuff too regarding with Google and how everything works with their services, whether it's Drive or, I mean, I know they own YouTube. I don't think they would touch YouTube, but stuff like that. We'll get to it in the end of throughout this segment. But I want to talk about the fact that, yes, they did have a developer fest at the Shoreline Amphitheater yesterday, or I can make that on Tuesday, in Mountain View, California. So it's a big deal, obviously. The biggest projects around, of course, were the virtual reality, changes to Android, which we talked about on the show on Tuesday, and then artificial intelligence, of course, which we talked about last week as well. So kind of this is like more of a recap show from what we've been leading up to a lot of the show, and a lot of the shows coming up to today. So I know that the Google is definitely trying to get some things figured out here. There's developers all over the place that want to be able to work with them and get their ideas into the Google tech. I know that there's definitely been an announcement regarding AI tech. It's going to be called Duplex, and it works. It does work with the Google Virtual Assistant, and it will be. I think it'll be integrated. It's definitely worth listening to the whole with the insight and stuff like that. I know that they are going to be having to address the fact that there's going to be a lot of privacy and data mining has such a negative connotation to it, but gathering, when it comes to, when you say that, I mean, definitely data gathering and collection is going to be definitely a talking point coming on further. I know that there was no mention of privacy during the 2-hour long keynote that was given by the CEO Sundar Pichai. So definitely a question mark that remains coming out of this this big conference that occurred. So I mean, obviously during the Facebook conference we had a lot of privacy talk because of what just happened. Google hasn't really been called yet. So I mean, in San Jose, Mark Zuckerberg had to talk about how Facebook failed, and he had to apologize for Cambridge Analytica and everything. Versus the CEO for Facebook, for Google, didn't really have to do that. He was really more about what's coming up new and what's going to be available for consumers to grab on and, you know, use the Google products. Obviously, Google is pretty much everywhere now these days. Not only do they have their own phones, they have their service like the Android service, which is powered by Google, on half the phones around the country, obviously, at least half, depending on what, I mean, Apple obviously has to say about it, but everything else is pretty much Google with the Android phones, whether it's HTC, Samsung, or something like that. So I know that there definitely is a little battle going on right there, but that's just the differences between the two companies right now, Facebook and Google, and where they are at when it comes to how they're looked at from a social, I mean, just kind of a image standpoint. You know, Facebook's image was pretty tarnished and pretty battered throughout the last few months versus Google. It's just been quietly prodding away at ways to, you know, be better than everybody else. So they're definitely doing that. As far as some announcements during the conference, I know Android P was a big deal. Obviously, Duplex and the Google Assistant is a big deal as far as how everything's going to be going. There was, of course, they had to undergo, I mean, you know, we always think when we think about AI, we think about the Turing test and if we could tell the difference between whether it's AI or not. I think Google is really going to be pushing, they're definitely going to be pushing the boundaries on that one. I know that they definitely have been trying to get to the point where they're going to get this assistant to pass the Turing test. For those who don't know what a Turing test is, it is when you sit in a different room as a computer and you talk to it basically, and the person who's talking to it doesn't know it's a computer. They're not told anything, but they have to decide whether they're talking to a human or to a computer basically. And of course that's named after Alan Turing. So just want to let you guys know that Google is trying to get to a point where you could go sit in a room with a wall in between you and the computer, and you will not even, they won't tell you it's a computer on the other side of that wall, but you'll start talking to it and it'll respond to you just as a human would. And you'll have, you might get freaked out. You might not be, you might think it's really cool. It depends how you feel about AI and everything, but definitely is an issue. Not an issue, but definitely is an interesting thing to talk about. Obviously, there is the opposite side of it with obviously Google is having their main competitor. Well, what is the Google's main competitor? Is it Apple? Is it Microsoft? We don't know. I mean, it's probably both. But definitely with Microsoft Build 2018 occurring, they didn't actually, that's actually going along and it's still happening. It still happened throughout the day. Yesterday as well. So it happened Tuesday and Wednesday, and Microsoft Build was happening, but Google was just like, you know, we're just going to have this big conference and we're going to announce a bunch of stuff out of it. Obviously this is a much more software based announcement versus the more hardware centric stuff that happened last year in October. I know obviously it was the Pixel 2 XL, all the Google Home stuff that would happen. So it was another day, but this time it was just more about the fact that we're going to be getting a lot more software stuff and they're going to be getting in on this AI idea. I know that privacy is a big issue for people. However, it's just not something that, it's not something that they address. I don't know why, whether they just don't think that they need to, whether they think they're all good, they're buttoned up and everything. I mean, if anything, it could be possibly that they didn't want to call more attention to Facebook. I mean, the fact that all these companies, I don't think Facebook is the main competitor for Google necessarily. They're different kinds of companies. One's a social media company and what even is Google? Google is actually not even the main company anymore. It's Alphabet. Alphabet owns Google, but that's a different show. Google, for whatever reason, decided that they wanted to stay away from the old privacy issue. Definitely something that we'll have to see and wait if they are going to talk about it in the near future. I know that they're definitely kicked everything off with the fact that the Google Assistant is going to be better than they're going to make it better than Amazon Alexa. Not that they said it specifically, but they're definitely going to try and make it better. It can speak according. You can have it in different voices. Obviously, Alexa has only the one. You can do six new voices with your Amazon Assistant, including, of course, John Legend, which is being announced now. It definitely could be converse more with it. You can have more conversations with your Google Home now that we have Duplex involved with this. This is the new software. Like I said, it's the more AI compatibility. Definitely can be everything. It looks like everything is going to be integrated. I mean, whether it's going to be having two things happening at once, where you can have a single conversation with a thing, it's going to go grab your. I mean, whether it's going to get your plane tickets or go order you a cup of coffee or whatever it might be, you can definitely get it to do. I mean, it's having multiple capabilities to be able to control and have a conversation with you at the same time while doing multiple things for you. I don't know. There's also been notes that you can have it train your kids to be more polite, whether it's going to call them on certain things or keep them from saying swear words or what have you. It definitely is an interesting thing for it to do. Definitely. Okay. We talked about it in the last show, I think, or the show before I think it was last Thursday. We talked about how this is going to be connectable to over 5,000 different smart devices, whatever they may be. Definitely going to be having more ability with that. With this new duplex addition to the AI software, it can be customized. I mean, we talked about the Amazon Skills. Now they're calling it Google Routines. Is the whole thing with these routine things where it's going to be doing things over and over things for you, whether it's going to be ordering you a Starbucks right before you leave the house. Honestly, I might have to set that one up. Or it's going to be doing turning lights on and off for you, or whatever may have you, whatever it connect to turn that. Keurig probably connects with it. It could turn your coffee on. It's always coffee based. I have to have my coffee. Yeah, whether it's running the dishwasher, using smart displays, yeah, it's connection with Whirlpool appliances, so you never have to ask them. You can just tell them to do certain things and be like, all right, run the dishwasher, all right, certain like that. So obviously, when it comes to that all within the house, it's pretty cool. When it comes to smart displays, you can obviously connect YouTube, because YouTube is going to be... YouTube is a Facebook, is a Google entity. They're completely is owned by Google. So YouTube will now be coming to smart displays. And the smart displays, obviously, when it comes to smart speakers, and that says they're telling you to leave the smart speakers aside and just use your smart displays. And then, of course, that makes me ask, what the heck is a smart display? And I mean, whether it's going to be a screen, or they're going to have a little screen, or I know they're trying to Google glasses. I don't think it's going to be anywhere towards that, but it's going to be something more like obviously a screen where you're going to be able to watch YouTube videos. Yeah. So it's going to be on your, it's going to basically be an LG device that has two speakers. It looks like an old iHome where you stick your iPod in the middle of it, but it's just one screen. It actually looks pretty cool. I mean, it's just basically an iPad, but that's already set up on its side with two speakers sitting on the wings of it, basically, and you can sit on your computer. That's actually pretty cool with two stereo speakers, and it's has all those capabilities where you can get things put up. And obviously, I think it's already integrated into those speakers and you just talk to it. And it has a screen. So it actually, it's kind of like giving it a face, giving your Google Assistant a face. I don't know what they're going to be calling it, but definitely a big deal when it comes to the battle. I don't know what they're going to be calling the Google Assistant. Obviously, Amazon has Alexa, Apple has Siri. We've gone over this. Whether it's just going to be calling it Google Assistant, but definitely... going to be some new things, obviously new products when it comes to these smart displays. They did debut at CES in January, but it was definitely a bunch of, they're letting a different company, Google isn't making them themselves, basically. They're letting different companies make their own. So LG has one, JBL, Lenovo, Sony have promised to make them, to create their own type of smart displays for their speakers coming up this summer. So basically, yeah, it's kind of like one of those old iHomes with the two speakers on each side. And you stick your iPod in the middle of it, but instead of sticking your iPod in the middle of it, there's already a screen built in there, and everything just plays straight out of that. So that's pretty cool, and you can obviously tell it to do certain things, like, hey, Google, hey, Google, okay, Google, do this, or okay, Google, do that. So it's pretty cool, I think. I'm going to have to look about getting one of those things, obviously. The keynote was a big deal. Just to wrap up this first segment, we talked about Google for a minute here, and their new... the new things that have come out with this Google I/O dealio conference that happened on Tuesday. I keep saying Thursday. It was Tuesday in Mountain View. I mean, they used the Sorlin Amphitheater, which is usually used for concerts. So, I mean, this is a big deal. It was an outdoor venue that they used for this massive conference, and getting their CEO up there and talking about talking about everything but privacy, which, I mean, I guess if you're Google, they probably talked about whether they're going to put it in the speech or not, but or in the key, yeah, in the keynote address or not, but they decided not to because they probably just don't want to call them much more attention. They're going to get their stuff figured out themselves. And I mean, yeah, look at that. They have a whole huge stage, lots of different people. I mean, it's all packed with people there as they're trying to see what's Google's newest thing that's going to be happening, big outdoor event. So we'll talk about more Google stuff when we come back with the Pixel Watch and their new phones they're going to be releasing, and then we'll get into some more news and updates as we go along with the show. So I'll be right back with that.
You want to be healthier, yet you just don't know what to do. All these shows telling you this and that, but nothing seems to work. Well, listen close. Golden State Media Concepts has got something great for you. The health and wellness podcast dedicated to workout trends, healthy eating habits, diet, and everything about healthy living. Join us in our banters as we help you not just live life to the fullest, but live it to the healthiest.
All right, welcome back to the GSMC Technology Podcast. As we are just zooming on through here with this Google talk, obviously I can do a whole show on Google I/O, and I might honestly do this half this show on the Google I/O. Obviously, a big announcement was the fact that there's going to be some big changes to the Google, just everything kind of everything when it comes to the Google Duplex. Everything is going to be rolled out sometime this year. Obviously, they even showed during the presentation in Mountain View on Tuesday, they had the Google Duplex actually see how real the AI is, and they showed off how it could work with the fact that, I mean, this thing is going to be turning into a real assistant, maybe taking some people's jobs. I don't know. Technology is creeping in. But they had this Google Assistant actually call a real hair salon and make a real hair appointment for somebody. And they talked to it talked to an employee. It did everything automated. I don't know if it was one of those, if it was John Legend asking them, but they're obviously different voices. Obviously there's been questions with the fact that how is this all going to get integrated into my life? How are we going to adjust all this stuff? Obviously, we got to take it as we continue to move along here. But with the Google, with his I/O stuff, obviously it's been the big deal for the last week around not only Silicon Valley but around the world. But the main question is, now after all this, which assistant is best? Whose voice assistant? Is it Amazon? Is it Google? Whose is better than the others? And that's really what the question is here, because Google has really taken a big step forward. Obviously, Alexa was the first one at the table, but Google is taking that Apple approach and really waiting and then coming out. And obviously, they announced it last year, but the Amazon Echo, Google waited 2 years and made the Google Home 2 years later, but then it did make those upgrades with voice recognition and other stuff where, I mean, it could tell basically who's talking to it. I don't think as Alexa, but it's, might have to use the Alexa skills in order to get it to know who exactly is talking to it. But definitely a big deal. Obviously, the impressive keynote on Tuesday was the highlight of it was the advancements to the Google Assistant and also to the Android P, which we talked about on Tuesday. I mean, there's more ideas to it. Obviously, they're trying to get closer and closer to the iPhone. There's more reasons now than not to stick with your iPhone, probably, because you're pretty much going to get the same thing over on the other side. Apple, Google's big deal was the fact that they're trying to get the technology to fold deeper into the background and get out of the way of the users, which is something that Apple has really prided itself on for the last decade, it seems, because they have had such easy to use interfaces for a very long time. I know that definitely using Apple for most of my life. But as far as Google Duplex, we're going to have to wait on it, but it's going to be a big advancement. It's going to change probably how a lot of people use their Google Homes and everything, especially with the smart displays and everything. It's going to be giving it an interface, something for you to look at while you're also talking to it. So, I don't know if we're going to get into a Her situation here. Her meaning the movie with Joaquin Phoenix, where he falls in love with his AI that is voiced by Scarlett Johansson. Just to let you guys know, that's definitely something that could and probably will happen, knowing our country and this, just the fact that this world is ridiculously, you know, anything could happen. There's so many people. Just continuing on, I did want to talk about, obviously, continuing on with this, with the Android P. I know following up, so since we didn't really, we had the show on Tuesday before the I.O. started, I want to give you guys some more updates on what they announced at the I.O. They are going to be improving the adaptive battery life. They did have a partner up with a company that is going to be creating more of an adaptive battery. And to improve the battery life, where it's going to be obviously deciding a little bit better on how to utilize its battery power depending on different apps. They're going to have a different rotation toggling where you can decide whether you want an app to auto rotate or not. Basically, they're going to have these different actions where they're going to have apps being able to predict your next task. Basically, it's going to try and basically. If you have a certain routine, obviously with our professional people out there who use these things and have the same routines every day, not only are you going to be able to have your routines on your iHome or your Google Home, you have them on your phone too. I mean, I freak people out for a little bit there, but it's not a terrible idea. It was the fact, oh, you've used this app. Now you're probably going to go use this app and then you're going to use this app. So it's going to try and predict your next task with these app actions. But you probably can turn it on or off if you would like. With the system navigation, obviously, it's going to be more better used for one hand use. Obviously, nobody really uses their phone with two hands anymore. It's all pretty much one hand, and for multitasking, obviously, with these gestures and more vertical up and down controls. So, you know, along one side of the screen, whether you're using, so you could use your thumb instead of more horizontal controls. We have to go back and forth. It's going to be up and down more along your phone. And they also want, I mean, obviously, it's not, Google has always been a software company. It's also kind of a lifestyle company where they're not trying to like, oh, we need you to use our products all the time, every day. They're actually trying to go away from that. They're going to give you a stats on how much you've used your phone on the screen time. Maybe try and put it right in front of you. Of like, okay, you know, you've been using your phone for this much of the day, like this percentage of the day you've been on your phone, like stop. Basically, so it's going to try and help fix your phone addiction. Obviously, that's everybody's. Who's not addicted to their phones? Obviously, I need mine attached to my arm. It's kind of I feel like, and it's an appendage. It's kind of makes me a little anxiety, gives me a little anxiety when it's sitting even across the room. Sometimes you're just like, oh my god, somebody's going to text me. What's happening? What's going on in the world? All right. I do want to go on and give time for talking about the Google Pixel and the Google Pixel Watch that's going to be coming out. They're obviously announcing during the Pixel 3 that's going to be coming out this fall, and the Pixel Watch will be coming along with it. So they're kind of getting on this watch game. Obviously, that's kind of, I think what happened was the Apple Watch, with Apple, has been around for so long. I know my family did a lot of my family did this. They didn't want the first model. They're like, okay, we're going to wait till like number three or number two, at least number two. Like, we wanted them to come out with make a couple changes, tweak it a little bit. Like, I mean, those things aren't cheap, but they want them definitely to try and perfect what they are trying to do with these devices. Obviously, a Google Watch would be pretty cool. Whether it's going to be the first one, you buy the first one, or you wait till they come out with a second one. But definitely, the hardware event is going to be in the fall. This is their software event. The Google I/O is the software event, versus they do have a hardware event in the fall where they're going to be releasing the we'll see the announcements of both the Pixel 3 and the Pixel 3 XL, which are the Android flagships, obviously the Google phones themselves, and then we're going to have debuting the Pixel Watch, which will be pretty cool because they're obviously going to have a branded smartwatch to go along with their phones, just like Apple does. I think Samsung was actually the first one to come out with the smartwatch. Didn't really go over that well. I think Apple Watch is still the best way to go because it's the way they found it rectangular, and I see more and more people wearing them all the time. I've yet to get mine, but I'll get there eventually. But yeah, definitely a report coming out saying that the Apple Pixel Watch is coming in fall of 2018, as well as some new Pixel Buds. So I guess Google's really going with this Pixel branded stuff, and they're trying to get everybody over to them. They're kind of getting in that Apple realm now. Obviously, they're already selling the Chromebooks, not nowhere near the... I mean, I don't think Google is really trying to compete too much with the quality that Apple brings with their Macs. Maybe they are with the phones a little bit. They're going to be definitely be interesting, obviously, that this is coming from a well-reliable source saying... I mean, that wasn't announced during the I.O., obviously. That was the software. Like I said, that's a software announcement versus the fact that... Now we're going to have these more watches and more wearable stuff when it comes to Apple's. I mean, Google stuff. Obviously, they're going to try and compete with the Apple Watch. It looks like that there's going to be a whole thing when it comes to these wear devices. Whether I know they already tried the smart glasses, the Google Glass, but it looks like they're going to be coming out with some more stuff regarding. This Apple Wear. I mean, obviously, the Apple Watch will likely a new Apple Watch will be debuting in the fall as well. Google is ready to have its own smartwatch to compete with it. I guess they're going to try just straight up compete. Obviously, they haven't really tried. They don't really need to because they're at hand. Like I said, they're at hand. They are really a software company. They make a lot of money off of ads. They have ads everywhere. Apple is a they are a software company as well, but they're software for their own stuff. They don't really share. They're not really very sharing, and sharing is caring with their software. They're like, nope, you want our software? You got to buy our stuff. Our software is on our stuff. Google's like, oh, you want our software? You can go buy an HTC. You can go buy a Samsung. You can go buy a Motorola. You can go buy a Chromebook. You can go buy, even though Chromebook is there, that is the only thing that actually is the Google. It is a Google product that is made and has the Google Google OS on there. Same thing with the Pixel products, obviously, as well. But Google has expanded their market to go to the other companies as they have for quite a while versus Apple never has done that. All right. Just continuing on, as we have like about three more minutes left in this segment, I just wanted to highlight a couple more things from the Google I.O. That happened on Tuesday. I know the Google Apps are going to be doing more stuff with the Google Maps and enhancements with your mobile apps. Like I talked about Gmail last week and how they're trying to get the smart mail. They really are advancing that one. Now Google will have the Gmail auto-complete your entire email, basically. If it can kind of guess what you're getting at there, it'll start finishing it off for you. Google, when it comes to Google Photos, it'll give you different suggestions on what to do with your photos and how to get different things out of them. As far as the Google News, which is something that I use a lot, obviously, I love Google News. It's going to be putting in AI all over the place and trying to use that AI capability to bring you the news that you want to read and get you things as far as better journalistic articles and such, where it's going to get hiding integrity as well. More, they're calling it a better and more well-rounded delivery, quote unquote. The fact that, I don't know, this is a screen that has a bunch of headlines on it. And then there's going to be Google Lens, obviously, which is that the camera app they use on the phone, on the phones. It's going to be coming to the, and you also can use them on the non-Google phones as well. It's going to be using, you can start selecting text and doing things through the, through their own apps as well. So Google trying to get on the pictures, get on with the email. Obviously they're in on every slice of the pie there is, especially with this new Duplex technology that's going to be coming out this year, and whether this is going to be an AI system that's going to really transform the whole thing, where, like I said, they're really going to try and make it pass that Turing test and get it to where it's going to do everything for you, and whether it's going to be accomplishing different tasks that it needs you to accomplish, just something that you would do on your phone. It's going to do it for you. Basically, it's going to be, everything's going to be integrated, and all you got to do is ask it to do it, and it's going to do it. Like, I mean, for those, like, I don't know, but Siri or Alexa or something, if you're like, you're a frequent flyer and you have everything all set up, you can say, Alexa, can you book me a flight to this and this? Or, I mean, that's going to be something that probably Duplex can do. Or whether it's calling a restaurant, I mean, it can even, there's different stuff, obviously, from the Google I.O., like I said, calling a restaurant or calling a hair place and setting up an appointment or making a reservation for you, something that involves human-to-human contacts is going to be able to do stuff just like that. All right. So we covered a bunch of stuff with Google. The Google I/O kind of went over this, these last two segments. I might leak over to the third segment as well. There's just so much stuff to talk about. This was obviously an all-day event for Google. They had about a two-hour keynote as well from their CEO. So I do want to get to the PS4 news. I'll do that probably in the last segment, but or maybe in the next segment. Then we'll come back to some just headlines that I want to get to throughout that come out throughout the day and bring to your ears here on the show. And we'll be right back with some more technology news when we come back.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching. Hey! The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be. Visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
All right, welcome back to GSMC Technology Podcast. As we have some more news to bring you, there's a report now that net neutrality, remember net neutrality, that whole deal that now the FCC has stripped its rules for, you know, the internet service providers that can, they can basically not charge you. It's all equal, basically, where the internet is free and it can not have any discriminatory behavior on things like that. So, I mean, it is there. We've seen it in other countries with net neutrality being taken away and how you can, you're going to be charged for different monthly services to use different internet sites and such like that, instead of just paying, you know, just a flat rate to your internet, for your Wi-Fi. It's all going to be by site and stuff like that. So it's going to be kind of interesting how they're going to get that done, how it's going to look. But I know I've definitely seen some examples of how it's going to look. It's not pretty, and it's set to the net neutrality is set to die on June 11th. I know that there's still some more stuff that needs to be going on. Obviously, there's going to be votes in Congress and such that need to happen. But right now, the final portion of the order revoking the rules is going to be obviously it's going to be published on in the FCC and the Federal Register. It will go in effect tomorrow. But then 30 days, and then it will be written in tomorrow into the Register, but then it'll be go into effect 30 days after the fact. So June 11th, a month from tomorrow. All right. I mean, that does, obviously there's nothing really that's going to replace it. Obviously they're just kind of like, let's see what happens. Kind of let Comcast and AT&T run wild. Obviously there's been, a lot of last minute attempts to try and repeal, obviously, some of this stuff that's going along here. Obviously, Congress obviously is the next step. There's going to be need. And obviously, I think there's a lot of Democrats out there that are going to try and throw all their weight as much as they can. And we'll see if they get some bipartisan support as well, but all their weight on this issue and try and get it stopped, because I don't know what's going to be the deal here. Obviously, Congress will really have to fight and get this to be changed. Obviously, they have the power to do so as well. It was a recommendation by the president to change these rules as the FCC. I mean, obviously, he changed the commissioner of the FCC, and the guy who was there before wasn't going to be somebody who was like, oh, let's get rid of net neutrality. I don't know what the problem with net neutrality is. There's going to be more money helping those fat cats up at the top of the big buildings, the Comcast building or AT&T or whatever it may have you. I mean, what really is there? I mean, I know Time Warner Cable, they do some sort of internet stuff, but there's really only two or three companies that really do internet service providing for people. I know there's small little companies all around the country, but basically it's Comcast or AT&T these days for your internet. So I don't know what's going to be going on. They're just trying to get people to get more money. Spend more money on it. It's not going to be good, as it looks like the internet will not be it won't be neutral. Obviously, we're seeing that there are legislators out there who are trying to get this change. There's definitely advocacy, definitely people, whether it's campaigns from public citizens or it's different petitions that are being written and signed online. Definitely ways to force Congress's hand. Obviously, the FCC's actions of pulling these rules are a way also to get Congress to do something and kind of kick them in the butt and say, hey, guys, you're going to do something to change this? Maybe we're just doing this as kind of a show me game. And now it's coming down into the wire here, 30 days until the rules are stripped out and no longer kind of it's free for all for these ISPs, internet service providers, obviously. We'll see what they want to do with it as well. I've seen different examples of what could happen, but I'm not too excited about it, what to say the least. All right, that's the negative news of the day. More positive news: looks like Nintendo is fixing one of their biggest issues when it comes to the Nintendo Switch. They're going to be selling a $20 charger. So it's addressing one of its biggest hardware problems. Usually, you'd have to notice that there's docked mode, but it doesn't charge. But so now they're selling a $20 thing, product that is going to be available to charge your device while you play. So it's pretty cool that now it's going to be out July 13th. Official charging stand for the Switch has been announced, and it's going to be available July 13th for $20. And it's just basically what you think it is. It's a little stand that is more substance than the built-in kickstand. It'll be complete, obviously, with the charging capabilities, and you can change the angle and such to whether you're going to be switching back and forth from the handheld to the whether you're going to have it plugged into your TV, you know, switch it up. Gotta switch it up. So I just want to let you guys know that there is now going to be a product coming out in order for you to do it. Obviously, it's a bit smaller, this product, and it's going to be something that you can just slide around and have a compact with, just like the Switch is. Obviously, the Switch is a pretty compact compact product in itself. So just want to let you guys know that one quickly as we kind of go through this little middle, this third segment. Let's do some, just some updates from around the tech world. I know Windows 10, their build, obviously we're going through the Microsoft build right now, kind of got over, I mean, at least on my show, I kind of blew it by the fact that the Google I/O is happening. But Windows 10, their build, the 17666, I don't know, I don't like that one, 17666 build, is now going towards a darker theme. And we'll update everything, kind of, you know, your Explorer with a darker theme, all these windows. Oh, big deal. They're changing it to this new, it's all dark background and reverse color schemes and everything, as they're trying to go towards something that may be a little more edgy. But it looks like that they're definitely changing this in order to be more personalized for the user and whatever might have be. Obviously, they're trying to get some more users back over to the old Windows family. And I mean, I think they have enough. Basically, if you have a PC, it's not a Chromebook or a Mac, you're going to be using Windows 10, however may you like it or not. Basically, you're stuck. I mean, I guess so. Okay, as far as the entire update, there is a new quote-unquote clipboard experience that will offer you your history from your clipboard, and you can paste copies of from the past, so you can, whether you're going to have, I feel like they've had a clipboard before, but now it's a little more out in the open, where you can kind of get to it a little easier, where you're using this clipboard, you know, control V is paste. Now you can hit the Windows key and then V, and it'll give you that clipboard feature that'll show you from your past pastes. So it actually is pretty cool. I use copy and paste a lot when I'm producing the show. So whether it's getting my show notes over to different publications and such, you know, moving around to all the different platforms that we put this show on. So yeah, it's a good, I mean, something that I might use eventually as well. So it's kind of cool that you have this personalization and the new easier way. All right, for Microsoft Edge, which is actually replaced. I don't know. I've seen Explorer. I use Apple stuff. I know Explorer is the file looker upper now, like Finder. Now Microsoft Edge is the web browser now for Microsoft, and now they're changing that as they're trying to get more into these fluent design principles with an acrylic title bar, and now you can jump back to closed tabs now. So if you accidentally, that's actually a good function just for your any day user. If you close a tab by accident and you have this new with the new update, all you have to do is hit the Alt button and then Tab at the same time. Alt Tab command, and it will open up and jump back to recently closed tabs too as well. And you can also mute tabs if they're just having, if there's a video playing or something or some sort of ad and it's spewing noise at you while you're on a different window, you can mute those as well. So it's actually pretty cool without having to actually close the tab out itself. They're improving to the Notepad as well as different support when it comes to Unix and Linux, as well as Macintosh. So it's going to be changing up this Notepad stuff. Obviously, they're trying to figure out how to sell Bing a little better, which is their which is a search engine by Microsoft. Bing. But I always thought Bing. They called it Bing because B-I-N-G stands for because it's not Google. All right. Well, it looks like that. They've definitely fixed up the issues when it comes to text documents that were originally created on Mac or OS are now going to be much easier compatibilized into the compatibility mode into the Windows 10. I don't know why, but you can use Windows. That Microsoft has sold the Microsoft Office now for Mac. So if you're not, I guess if you're not using Microsoft Office, if you're just using Pages or what have you from Mac OS, it doesn't matter now. You can just write over. All right. Like I said, with Bing, they're trying to get it to where it's now getting something better. Obviously, you can search things when you highlight and right-click them in any text. You can search it with Bing. That's kind of a thing that Google has had for a while now. And you can look up certain keywords from whatever you're looking at, or if you're typing something out and you want to search it, it's all right there. You can search with Bing now, just like you go search with Google. All right, enough with the Windows 10. I know Windows it's fun, but it's not fun. All right, last thing for this segment, they have an announcement from Apple, actually, which is actually pretty cool. Apple is going to be announcing a credit card with Goldman Sachs, actually. So it looks like that, obviously, we have all of our Apple Pay stuff going on, but now they're going to have their own, as they're going to be releasing a credit card with the investment bank. Like I said, Goldman Sachs, it was released in a report to the Wall Street Journal. And it will end the partnership that Apple had with Barclays, and it will now be with a U.S.-based company, Goldman Sachs, and will offer in-store financing and loans to customers, Apple customers, when they're trying to buy different things. I mean, obviously, a lot of Apple products require some month-to-month financing. Whether you're going to pay this thing off, not going to pay it straight up and pay it off over monthly payments. So it looks like that Goldman Sachs has acquired this ability to partner with Apple. Obviously, there was there's a couple other companies. I know American Express also has a partnership with Goldman as well for its Platinum card when it comes to backing certain financing agreements. All right. So I know there's another So this is another thing, obviously, that that Apple's doing. They're partnering with a bigger, obviously, shifting from Barclays over to Goldman Sachs. Whether it was the fact that Goldman Sachs acquired another company called Final. It was a credit card company, a startup that definitely now making a Goldman Sachs quite a player in this credit card industry, which is, we'll see how that bubble bursts. In the past, I know a lot of credit card debt is an issue for many Americans around there. Now, it looks like Goldman Sachs is getting in on that game, whether it's reaping the rewards or just looking to maybe make it easier for people. I know Apple is definitely trying to increase the users when it comes to Apple Pay. I definitely use Apple Pay myself. But when it comes to Apple, this is definitely something that will help people increase the adoption of Apple Pay. And we don't know quite how well the card when it is matched, if you get an Apple card with Goldman Sachs, how it's going to work, whether it's going to be something you just use in store and get points for it or different benefits, or whether the company will just reap all of it themselves for the and just give you certain services you get from any other company, but they're just using it, give you the nice Apple signature right on the card for you. All right, that'll wrap it up for this segment. We're going to come back with some of the PS4 news and some other gaming stuff. We might have a shortened final segment for the day. So it was kind of a slow day. I just kind of gabbled about Google and gave you guys all the Google information pretty quickly. But so we'll talk about the PS4 and how it's stacking up against the Xbox One. All right, we'll come back with all of that.
Want to find out what movies to go see? Then check out the GSMC Movie Podcast. It's your ticket to the latest movies, whether it's a new blockbuster event, romantic, comedy, or action flick. This show has got it all covered. They talk some what to go see now. Don't bother. What's hot on Netflix and everything in between? That's GSMCpodcast.com/movie-podcast. When it's all about the movies, it has to be this new show. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit GSMCpodcast.com for more info.
All right, welcome back to GSMC Technology Podcast, final segment of the day today on a Thursday as we get ready for our weekends of gaming and whatever may have you going and rewatching the Google I/O, whatever you guys want to do over your weekends. Obviously, got one more day, Friday tomorrow, but Friday's a nice, fun party day. But we do have some news out of Microsoft and, well, what's more, EA, actually, Electronic Arts. They have let a little data point slip due to the fact that Microsoft they have a disclosed sales number on Xbox One since 2015. So, I mean, I wouldn't really, you're not going to get much information from them as far as that, but definitely EA, an executive from Electronic Arts, did announce that the publishers, when it comes to the different install bases on for EA, and it's not hard to do math, obviously, when it comes to breaking down the different things on how it correlates to console sales, when it comes now, we have these different generations, but EA, the CFO of EA, did disclose the fact that the company, with this current generation, quote unquote current generation, of an install base of 103 million at the end of 2017, while which means that PS3 has sold about, 73 million units globally, which means about 24. Because Sony does announce their sales, and it's 73 million units, and that leaves about 29.4 million units for Xbox. So it means that PS4 is quite outselling. You could even factor in some Nintendo Switch units too, because of FIFA. FIFA 18 is the only title sold by EA for the Switch. So, that's tough. But EA is pretty much a staple game when it comes to, or staple company making games for pretty much every kind of gamer there is out there. And whether it's sports or not, it's first person shooters, everything, they make it all. And they definitely could be a good measuring stick when it comes to different consoles and how they are going to be selling well or not. So if EA place, if you're thinking that 103 million installs on different, when it comes to EA games and stuff like that, EA games on these consoles, and we know that whether it's PlayStation, that's all the consoles, and we know that PlayStation has sold 73 million, does that mean that only 29 million? You're assuming every single console has downloaded an EA game, basically, or installed the EA Access or whatever it is. I still find that hard to believe. Obviously, Microsoft did come out and tell Variety that the projections are wrong, and the fact that it's a lot tighter race, and whether it's going to try and get Xbox to just close certain sales, but it did. It is interesting. Obviously, it's a tighter race than you think, especially in North America, in one sales, just, you know, one looking at it, one little slice there. So it's going to be interesting seeing how that, obviously, the current consoles, when it comes to, now you're calling it the big three, obviously, the Switch is really getting up there. Nintendo Switch is definitely Nintendo's new big, well, obviously, it's Nintendo's new big toy that's coming out. No joke about that, but it's definitely trying to compete with these big boys that have been around. PlayStation and the Xbox have been around for quite some time. Obviously, using the EA data, whether it's, there just happen to be more people who are downloading EA stuff onto their PlayStations versus Xboxes. That is a pretty disparity. That number is crazy disparity. That disparity, that number is insane. It's over 40 million in difference. That's crazy. I mean, the Xbox, they sold over 44 million more PlayStations and Xboxes. I just don't believe that. I mean, that's maybe just straight up Xbox Ones, because now we have the Xbox One X and the Xbox One S. They have two new models that came out. PlayStation hasn't come out with a new model. At least I don't think they have, unless they just didn't rename it. They just came out with a new updated version. I mean, I don't understand. It's very interesting to see all this stuff come out from these companies. All right. That's really it that I really want to talk about today. There wasn't much stuff coming out today other than some stuff from Apple. I mean, from Apple and from Google, obviously, talked about neutrality, talked about the Google I.O. We talked about the Apple coming out with their new credit card with Goldman Sachs. I know there's new interviews regarding the Spotify and their new rules, definitely regarding different content and hate content. I know that they're going to be demonstrating no more hateful conduct on the Spotify app, whether it's through songs or different stuff. So it's going to be issues as they will define hateful content as music that will expressly promote and advocate for hatred or violence on certain different groups and stuff. Obviously they're working with groups such as the Southern Poverty Law Center and GLAAD, so Racial Justice, Muslim Advocates, all these different groups that really do a lot of good work and help groups that are being talked about and hated on. It's not that good. It's not good stuff. So good thing from Spotify there. I have to watch out for some music, obviously, and be trying to change the landscape of how we write music these days. All right. That's going to wrap it up. I'm going to cut it short for today, as we are going to come back next week on Tuesday and really go deep into the Google Android P and to this Google Duplex that's going to be releasing, as we'll do probably not one big show, but stuff like that. As I'm obviously seeing lots of different stuff with regards to this Silicon Valley and the latest experiments when it comes to the poaching on jobs with the service industry. So we'll really go into that, and we'll talk about it when we come back on Tuesday. So everybody have a good weekend. Go play some Fortnite. Go buy an Xbox and help their sales numbers, or go see if you can get a Goldman card, or go watch the Google I.O. Again, or if you haven't seen it, go watch it. I advise. It was a pretty fun show. So we'll talk to you again on Tuesday. Everybody have a good weekend. See you then.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Technology Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.